KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Sunnyvale, South Bay.
I live in Oakland, California.
Concord. Parkside.
San Mateo.
I live in Alameda.
Marina.
Currently living in the Mission District.
Coming up, KALW's new podcast, The Stoop, asks, if you're Black, what does it mean when people say you sound white?
Do I sound white like a Scottish person? Do I sound like white like a Brahmin in New England? Do I sound white like someone from Utah?
We talk with Oakland poet and playwright Chanaka Hodge about voice and how sometimes people ask her to sound Blacker.
They give me notes like we wanna market to a more urban group.
Also, the new Ethiopian jazz sound of Makleet Hedero's latest album, which includes some cooking tools. What is that sound? Find out today on a special Stoop edition of Cross Currents, talking about Black identity and art. Welcome back to Cross Currents from KALW News, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area. I'm Hannah Baba. And joining me for the first piece today is Leela Day, my co-host on our new podcast on Black identity called The Stoop.
There are a lot of things that define Black speech patterns. Mm-hmm. And one of them is this thing called the interdental fricative.
Interdental fricative. It's something we hear all the time. Ooh, that, do that, do that, that, that. Come on. Ooh, that, do that, do that, that, that. Yeah. Ooh, that, do that, do that, that, that. Do that, do that, do that, that, that. You know, who this, who that. They so crazy.
They crazy. Basically, it's when people pronounce the th sound in words like this and that as a D sound. So it becomes that, those, these. It's something that predominantly happens in Black speech. Come on.
It's important because how we sound can make a difference in a lot of ways. Like, it has to do with who people think we are, maybe even how we're treated, how people react to us.
Mm-hmm. And it can really affect how we feel comfortable with who we are. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean when people tell you you sound Black or you sound white? That's what we're talking about today on The Stoop. This is Leela Day, and that is...
This is Hannah Baba. Well, let's stoop this thing out with someone who has a lot to say about this.
And she's right here in our backyard.
Yeah.
From Oakland, California, Chanaka Hodge.
This is Trina's world. She walks above it all. Ghetto brown gel slicks Cosmo's back in her hair easily. She walks quickly. No time to talk. Shoots insults over her shoulder. Your mama. She's living for her lover's memory and he's not even dead yet. This is the sound. Pickles and red Kool-Aid sticking to her lips like blue now-laters, spiced apple cider, sunflower seeds, chitlins, and abject poverty. She's 14, womanly, big bosoms, bigger bottoms. Everybody wants to hold her thigh, hold her breast, hold her back. No one wants to hold her hand.
That is powerful.
That's Chanaka Hodge, Oakland poet, educator, playwright, and screenwriter.
And she did a TED Talk.
And that poem we just heard, Chanaka wrote that based on what she can see out of her window in West Oakland.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we went, to talk about voice.
How we sound and why it matters.
So let's go to West Oakland and hang out on her stoop.
The stoop is very much our kitchen and our living room and our sink and... It's been lots of things over the years. My dad comes out here and plays drums from time to time. We got a lot of stairs, a lot of stoops, and a lot of conversations here, but welcome.
So has anyone ever told you that you sound white?
Absolutely. Absolutely. On many occasions. I went to two small, independent Black schools, so I had a different education than most straight out the gates. And so I left those schools and went to Cole Middle School in West Oakland, and that was the first time anyone had told me I'd sound white, but I'd never gone to school with any white folks. I'd never, like, I went to a Black gymnastics center and I rode horses with the Black cowboys and I did Black tennis camp. So in many ways I was bougie, but I'd never heard that I sounded white because I'd never been around white folks I sounded like every black person I'd ever been around. But when I got to Cole, there was definitely a different lexicon, a different phonology. And it actually encouraged me and impelled me to study African-American vernacular English when I went away to university. So I got to study with Renee Blake out of Stanford University, who was then on faculty at NYU, whose major focus is copula, forms of the verb to be, which was very interesting to me. And so, I actually did a concentration in linguistics with a focus in African-American vernacular English for my undergraduate degree. And so I've been told I sound white. I've been able to unpack that. I've been able to...
You studied it.
I studied it.
Yeah, what does
that
mean, though?
I studied it for quite some time. So I don't think there's a such thing as sounding white.
Yeah.
When someone says that, I was like, do I sound white like a Scottish person? Do I sound like white like a Brahmin in New England? Do I sound white like someone from Utah? Where's my tongue in my mouth when I sound white? Are there interdental fricatives? You know, like I ask all of those things. And then at the same time, I do... know what it means to switch. What Renee Blake called R-fulness back in the day.
What's that?
R-fulness.
R-fulness is a term that she coined, I believe, but it's about the level to which an R is pronounced or not in a word that often provides distinction
between
one sounding black or white. So I actually did mine, our final for that course was to listen to a musician and just basically get I think 250 different examples of him using words that have R's in them and then measure the amount of R that was in it. So we chose E40, who actually has more R-fulness than most people in African America. He tends to stress the R's.
America.
Like America, you know, 40 water.
Everybody got choices. I choose to get money, I'm stuck to this bread. Everybody got choices. Switches and shifties and I'm all in their head. Everybody got choices. Keep it one thou out of the life that I chose. Everybody got choices.
You know, he would say his little bit more, whereas like a too short might lean back off the R a little bit.
That's interesting. Or, I'm realizing my mom always says water.
Water, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of somebody who has like a definite East Coast sound and quote some art, like what would Biggie Smalls say?
It's all good, baby. It was all a dream.
What would Biggie say?
It was all a dream, and there's an R in there, but it's between two consonants, so that changes some of the rules. I can nerd out on you guys really hard, obviously, and I haven't studied in quite some time, but all of this I think affected my writing and affected the way I thought about what presenting blackness meant, what performing blackness meant, and what being blackness meant. And so I think all of that gets touched on when you ask if somebody sounds white. It's like, well, do I? And what does that mean? And I think it's always an affront when someone says you sound white, whether it's a black person or a white person who said it to me in the past.
And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
We were talking about, like, what do you think it would sound like if we actually weren't so aware of when we switch our voices back and forth? If we just spoke, like, if you turned on the news and you just heard someone say, what's up, good evening, it's time to watch the news. Like, if you just heard that normal kind of family voice and the way that we talk around family, what do you think, like, it would, do you think it would sound different?
I think it might sound different, Lee. I don't know what it would be like. I feel like in some ways I wouldn't want that. Part of the way that we speak to each other is our code, and we invented it for survival, and we need it from time to time. So I don't know. I don't want them to know all our hair secrets and all our cooking secrets and all our
secrets,
vocal secrets.
Right?
We need some of them for ourselves. And
right.
I think that's part of the magic that keeps us young and vital and alive. You know, I think that having a language our own in a time where our children are being murdered, I think is an effective tool. So I like speaking lots of languages, but I don't know. I feel like folks need to be initiated into ours.
Have you ever been in a situation where you were asked to sound blacker?
Oh yeah.
Like the other way.
Right. Yeah. I have been asked, and I have other friends who've been asked that, but then they don't. I mean, it typically unravels, you know, rather quickly with me because I just talk a lot of So, oh, I can't say that on your show. I talk a lot of crap. So that usually opens a door much wider for whatever producer or college programmer brought me to their site. I'll begin this conversation immediately. Well, what do you mean? What do you want me to do?
What? How do they say it?
Can you
tone it up?
Can you? Do you think you could just there's always like a.
Do they dance like that when they?
You know, I won't say who, but it's actually less with folks at that, because by the time someone brings me in to do poems at a school, they have a pretty good sense of who I am, and you know. But I did voiceover work for a while, and they give me notes like we wanna market to a more urban group. We want it to feel a little grittier, or a little harsher, and so I started recording 3 takes of it, anything. So I'll say like Nabisco cookies are great to eat. That'd be the first take. The second take I would always do, and sort of like what it would be like if I were performing a poem. So I'd be like, Nabisco cookies are great to eat. A little more energy, a little more enthusiasm. And then they inevitably would pick the third one, where I would like do this before and be like, Nabisco cookies are great to eat. That would be the one that they picked. They always pick the third one. 100% of the time.
That did sound like the best one to me.
I mean, hey, it is what it is.
I like that one.
I mean, you're in my target demo, so.
That's poet Tanaka Hodge laying it down on the stoop with me and Leela Day. Check out the Stoop podcast coming soon from KLW and NPR. Coming up next on Cross Currents, bringing the funk Ethiopian style.
So I wanted to create a conversation between New Orleans and Addis Ababa. I just felt like those two sounds would really complement each other and also just really appreciate each other.
Ethio jazz star Makleet Hedero has a show coming up and joins me next. But first, we're in our spring membership drive. Let's check in with our friends in the Fun Drive room right now.
Looking forward to hearing that next segment, Hana. This is Ben Trefney, the news director at KALW, here with Angela Johnston, one of the reporters here in the news department. And, you know, I think about Tanaka Hodge and how she came up through Youth Speaks here in the Bay Area. And just recently, I was at that Black Panthers exhibit at the Oakland Museum of California. And it was such a great show. And at the end of it, there was this video presentation. And people were mesmerized, and they were crowded around, and they were watching Tanaka Hodge on video spitting about the history of Oakland and about race relations. And she's such a powerful speaker, such a powerful presence. It's shows like Cross Currents, it's places like the Oakland Museum, it's places like KALW that bring these voices to the fore. And you can support that at 800-525-9917.
Or you can go online to kalw.org and click on the donate button. The Stoop, this podcast, is a new thing that we started at KALW that came
national.
Out of KALW this year. And it brings conversations like that, these candid personal conversations. I felt like I was on the stoop with them hearing
it.
And we bring you radio that brings you to places, and you help make that possible when you call 800-525-9917. You help make these important conversations possible.
That's right. Or online at kalw.org. This really is a partnership between us here at KALW and everybody who is in our listening area. We are all from the Bay Area here, and we are telling stories about the Bay Area. For everybody in the Bay Area, please support local programming. Support Cross Currents and KALW at 800-525-9917.
You support it now. You support it in the future. You do it by calling 800-525-9917 or going online to KALW.
That's right, kalw.org. You could donate now right there. You know, we keep the pledge breaks real short here at KALW every time. We're going to go back to the show in just a second. You could still call 800-525-9917. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hana Baba. As you've heard, KALW's new podcast, The Stoop, talks about what it means to be Black today. And when we talk about Black people in the U.S., we're not only talking about African Americans. African immigrants are also part of the Black social fabric in this country, people like myself. And like our next guest, Makleet Hedero. She is an Ethiopian-American musician, singer, songwriter, and composer, and she just released her 3rd solo album. Makleet Hedero joins me in studio.
I grew up in a house that was very Ethiopian, but I grew up surrounded by American culture. And so both of those things have deeply informed who I am. And so for me, I feel that music is a very natural outpouring of what is inside of you. And when music is made from the truth, a place of truth, it ends up reflecting who you are. So that's how I grew up, that's who I am, and so that's the music that I make. Mm.
So one song you produced, like a video for as well, celebrates the Afro.
Yes.
And you wear an Afro.
I sure do.
Beautifully. In fact, the song is called I Like Your Afro.
Yes.
You sing it in Amharic.
Yes.
So let's take a listen. Okay, so kamakam, is that right?
Kamakam.
Kamakam.
Mm-hmm.
What does kamakam mean, and why did you make the song?
Yeah, it's a folk song. It's a folk song from the countryside. It's like a deep countryside folk song about a lover with the perfect afro. And when I heard it, I was like, I have to do this. It's not even a question. It's not even a question. I mean, first of all, because I loved that it was a deep countryside folk song, meaning like, this has been around and we have been loving us for a long time, mm-hmm. and let's celebrate that. And then also I felt like it was a way to call in Ethiopian culture in a way that would be relevant and heard and felt across the African diaspora.
I remember talking to you after your first album dropped on a day like this.
7 years ago.
Yeah, time flies. And I remember listening to Abay Mado, mm-hmm. and you told me it wasn't easy for you to sing in Amharic.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, 7 years later, is it easier? How do you feel about it now?
It's a lot easier. It's uh-huh. so much easier. First of all, my Amharic is better. So that's good. I'm still not fluent, but my Amharic is better. Mm. There's just something that I've settled into in the way that Amarinya uses sound. And so it has gotten just a lot easier.
I was listening to your TED Talk and you talking about the everyday sounds that influence music. And here that is.
When I was standing in front of the stove cooking lentils, and it was late one night and it was time to stir, so I lifted the lid off the cooking pot and I placed it onto the kitchen counter next to me, and it started to roll back and forth, making this sound. And it stopped me cold. I thought, what a weird, cool swing that cooking pan lid has.
Tell us about that cooking pan lid.
Well, you know, that cooking pan lid has gotten a lot of resonance, let's mm-hmm. say. And it was just a really cool rhythm. I was like, I need to record that, and then it became the rhythm for the whole first half of the song.
That was the song This Was Made Here by my guest Macleet Hedero. This is a special edition of Cross Currents brought to you by the new KALW podcast, The Stoop.
This was made here.
Hedero is a singer, composer, TED fellow, and she calls herself a cultural instigator too, right?
That's right.
That's what you called yourself as well. Hey, you said it, not me.
Oh, yeah.
She's releasing her third solo album in June. It's called When the People Move, the Music Moves Too.
Translate. And yes, indeed, Macleet Hedero is going to be playing at the Rickshaw Stop in just a couple of days. And as a matter of fact, during our spring membership drive, Angela, we have two sets of tickets available to see Macleet Hedero at the Rickshaw Stop in addition to her new CD. You can get those at the $120 level of membership at KALW by calling 800-525-9917.
800-525-9917. I think they'll go really fast because I loved hearing that music. It was so great. And Macleet is just this great example of the richness of perspective that we have in the Bay Area and that we try to reflect on our programming here at KALW. She was born and raised in San Francisco Bay Area. She's local. We bring her to a local audience, to you, and you know, eventually to national audiences through podcasts like The Stoop that you know, is getting picked up nationally.
That's right. NPR has been sponsoring The Stoop, and we are just waiting for it to launch. And it came right out of KALW, 800-525-9917. This is the innovation station. Support that kind of creativity. These voices that you hear on KALW that we are all about promoting, KALW.org, be part of this team.
Promoting those voices, but also promoting local music. At the end of every Cross Current show, we have a different local musician or band. I love that. It's over 200 in a year
That's right.
Get to hear.
And you get to hear about new venues like the Rickshaw Stop, about the Red Poppy Art House, Café du Nord coming back online, and all over the Bay Area, really. 800-525-9917.
Pick up those tickets.
Yeah, pick up the tickets from Macleet Hedero, and we are going to go back to the show right now because that's how we do it at KALW. Thanks.
This is a special edition of Cross Currents brought to you by the new KALW podcast, The Stoop. With me is Ethiopian-American singer-composer TED Fellow Macleet Hedero. So, Macleet, let's start with another track from your album, When the People Move, the Music Moves Too. This song is called This Is My Luck, featuring Preservation Hall horns. That's You Are My Luck by Macleet Hedero, who is with me in studio. Gorgeous Macleet. And the horns. And I want to talk about the horns. Tell me about the song and about the importance of horns to your music and to Ethiopian music and to jazz and all of it.
Horns have a long history in Ethiopia, and they've been around for more than 100 years. In the 40s, 50s, 60s, there were military and police bands that were horn-driven and that would play outside, and they would play a lot of national music and things like this. Mm. And then those guys ended up being brought into Ethio-jazz. And one of the cool things about the way horns play there is that they're actually based on the traditional flutes. Mm. So the way that the flute players play has really influenced the way that the saxophonists play, for example. And the saxophone in particular is just a huge part of the Ethio-jazz sound. Monsoon storming times, my people try to look the world in the eye. And we get so tired, always high tide. So it was really cool to get to work with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band and their horn players. I wanted to create a conversation between New Orleans and Addis Ababa. I just felt like those two sounds would really compliment each other and also just really appreciate each other. And they really did. Like, when I walked in, those guys were so open-hearted and so open-armed and showed us all around New Orleans. We actually recorded with them in New Orleans.
Oh.
And they played those lines like fire, you know? You know, I always say that my music is a mix of jazz and the singer-songwriter approach and also Ethiopian music. And in my previous albums, it would be like, one song would be more jazz, one song would be more singer-songwriter, one song would be more Ethiopian. I think what's really exciting, or one of the things that's really exciting about this new record, is that it all feels like it found expression in every song. Mm. All the songs have all the pieces, and that's something that took a long time to figure out how to do.
So just like, since you've mentioned your influences, I want to hear
I Want to Sing for Them All, which is one of really my favorite tracks on your new album.
Yay.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
I grew up listening to Michael and Auster.
That's my mission statement. That's the anthem. I feel like also, you know, one thing is when you bring different musics together and different identities together, it can look a lot of different ways and it can be kind of nuanced. So what I wanted to do was make a song that just straight out said it. This is what I'm doing. This is who influenced me. This is the musical path that I'm walking on, and let's enjoy it.
Found Coltrane and Mary Armaday and Dr. Mulatu to guide me in what I do. They all have a place at my table with me, singing EDO jazz in 2017.
Woo! All right. I mean, that is so good.
Thank you.
So it's just like you said, just laying it out there. These are the people who inspire me. This is where I come from.
And let me make it clear.
Let me make it clear. Sometimes things just need to be like said.
Said, spoken, sung. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And so what can people expect at the show?
Show's gonna be fire.
That's all you need to know.
Well, the incredible Zakiya Harris is opening, and she's somebody who's really inspiring to me. She's somebody who's very much a cultural activist, who's a social entrepreneur, and who's also an incredible singer and composer and performer. She's opening, and my band is going to be a 6-piece band. We're also going to be joined by the singer Zedi for several songs, and we also will be dancing together. And the wonderful Kev Choice is going to be joining us for a song as well. And DJ Hey Love is going to be spinning in between sets and before and keep us dancing after. And the whole thing is hosted by the wonderful Miss Candy.
All right. Thank you, McLean.
Thank you.
Bye.